asked to teach a class about raising teens in the church. Now, when I was asked to do that, I said, "Are you sure you want me to do that?" Because I'm not an expert. I'm far from an expert. Sometimes I feel like Jan and I know almost nothing about parenting. But then again, I think we've probably gone to at least 25 parenting workshops. Workshops or conferencia. And I've probably read at least 10 books on parenting. And most importantly, we've raised 3 teenagers. So maybe I know a little bit. So maybe I can give you a few ideas. You know, there was a young preacher. Predicador joven. And he went to a church. And he taught a class on parenting. And the title was How to Raise Children. And then a few years later, he and his wife had children. They started to grow up. And he was going to teach the class again. This time the title was Advice on Parenting. Then a few years later, his children became teenagers. And he was teaching the class again. And this time the title was Hope for Parents. Because raising teens is a tough job. Now, how many of you have children that are less than 8 years old? Okay. How many of you have children that are 8 or more? Okay, good. Now, in my opinion, raising the little children is much easier. Now, in terms of energy and time, it's not easier. It's harder. But in terms of the skills, the older they get, the harder it is. For the little children, it's like Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Versículo 1. You know, children, obey your parents. That's pretty easy. You tell the children what to do? They do it. And if they don't do it, then you go to Proverbs 23. That says, spare the rod and spoil the child. Don't use the spanker and then the child is like spoiled. So, from my perspective, with the little children, they're much easier. But when they get to be 8 or 10 or 12 years old, instead of using Ephesians 6:1, now we're using Ephesians 6:4. Let's read that one. So the way I see it, with the little ones, it's more like Ephesians 6:1. But as they grow up, it's more like Ephesians 6:4. Because they're becoming adults. And I don't know about you, but for me, if I was on the job, if my boss said, obey me, and if you don't obey me, I'm going to punish you, that would not work at all. And with teenagers, that doesn't work at all. You tell a teenager, obey me. They say, why? And you say, because I said so. That doesn't work for a teenager. Teens are easily angered. Easily frustrated. And I don't know about for you, but they're frustrating to the parents also. Now I'm going to have 5 points. I'm going to try to go quickly so we can have lots of questions. But before I give my 5 points, I want to ask, what's the goal? What's the goal for your children? Is that they obey you? Is that the goal? That your children obey you? Definitely not. Is it the goal that they get a good job? No. Is the goal that they become successful? No. What's the goal? Is that they go to heaven. So everything we do in raising teenagers is pointing towards them loving God. Now that's not how the world does it. For the world, their goal is for the child to go to the best school, to make the most money, to have the best career, to find the best wife. That's not our goal. We have to remember that. So how will we see this happening? The goal is to bring up a child who has their own conviction, their own heart, and a strong character to serve God. Point number one is, in order to have teens successfully, is the husband and the wife, they have to have a good relationship. I've heard it said, the best gift you can give to your children is to love your spouse. And if you and your wife have an excellent marriage, that's the best thing you can do. See, we think we need to do something to our teenagers. We need to tell them what to do. We need to give them advice. We need to control them. We need to make them know the right things. I think there's some truth to that. But I think a great marriage, one where husband and wife love each other, they communicate with each other, they enjoy being around each other, they have the same goal, which is to serve God, they're unified, I think that's the best gift you can give to your children. Does that mean the parents will agree with each other on how to raise the children? No, it doesn't mean that. I guarantee you. Does it mean that the father and the mother agree on the best way to raise children? And I said, no, it doesn't mean that. Because you will not agree. Jen and I definitely did not always agree. We had very significant differences in ideas. And you can't force each other to agree on everything. So the goal is not that you agree. The goal is that you work together. The goal is that you be unified. The goal is to be consistent. That's why you talk about issues related to the kids when the kids are not there. You know what the teenagers are going to try to do. They're going to try to divide you. But that can't happen. If you have teenagers, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So the children need to know that the one parent will support the other parent, even if they don't agree. And that's another key. So if you want to plan how to create the best situation for your teenagers, you need to work on your marriage. You need to love each other. Enjoy being around each other. You don't need to agree, but you need to be unified. Now, none of you will be perfect. Your kids will know all your mistakes. I guarantee you. Number two. You need to be close to God. Maybe I should have made this number one. The children can smell, you know, hypocrite. Do you have a word for hypocrite? Hipocrito? A child can smell a hypocrite a mile away. They have little antenna. They have very sensitive detection system. You may fool your brother and sister at church, but you'll never fool God, and you'll never fool your children. If you love God, you don't have to say anything. Your children will know that. Your children will know if you love God. And your relationship with God needs to be visible to the children. They need to see you studying your Bible. They need to see that you pray. It's more important that you pray to God than that you have a prayer around the table before dinner. If you want to draw your children towards God, if you want to pull your children towards God, you need to be close to God. Don't try to make your teenagers be spiritual. 5-year-old children? You say, pray. And they better pray. If they don't pray, they need to pray. You don't do that with teenagers. You don't make them love God. If they don't want to pray, then I wouldn't make them pray. I would not force them to pray, because that's making them be a hypocrite. It's forcing them to be a hypocrite. Right, you say, would you like to pray? If they say, no, I don't want to, you don't say, we're a spiritual house around here. As long as you're in my house, we pray. That doesn't work with teenagers. You can't force them to be spiritual. Remember, what's the goal? You have to remember the goal. What's the goal? That they be religious? No. So don't force them to pray. Don't force them to have a quiet time. You pray. You have a quiet time. And ask them if they want to do that with you. I think if we start young, si empezamos, then they'll want to do that. But I guarantee you, at some point, every teenager rebels. Every single one rebels. Even the spiritual ones rebel. I think it's written in our genetics, in our chromosome. They're going to rebel against you. And if you try to force them to act spiritually, you force them to be a hypocrite. So don't do that. And what will happen, they'll have this little rebellion, and if you do it right, maybe a month later, maybe 6 months later, they'll say, actually, I do want to do that. See, that's how you don't frustrate your children. So it's more important that you be close to God, set an example. They could see your relationship with God. They know that you love God. And then let them come to that point on their own. So point number one is husband and wife need to be close. The best gift you can give to your teenagers is to love your spouse. The other gift you can give your teenager is to love God. Really love God. To love spending time with God. To love having time with God. To love having time with God. Amando tener tiempo con Dios. Okay, number three. Humility. Humildad. It takes a lot of humility to raise teenagers. Another key is humility. You need to confess your sins to your teenagers. I guarantee you they know anyway. So you confess your sins to your teenagers. And you be specific. You set the example. Don't make excuses. Don't say, this is why I did that. Say, this is what I did. Eso es que yo lo hago. This is what I did. Be teachable. Somebody who can be taught. You need to be a student. You need to allow your children to teach you.
Now,
don't take that too far. You're still the parent. They're still the kid. As long as they're in the house, you're the parent, and they're the kid. And you try to become a friend, but you're a parent first. And so I don't want to say this too strongly. But your children know your weaknesses. Weaknesses. And you need to be able to listen to them. They need to see repenting. I remember one time with my son Ben. He brought back home very bad grades from the school. He brought back marcas malas. And so I yelled at him. And I did this. And I saw the look in his eyes. He just, I don't know, like a flower wilting. Like a flower that wilts, you know. And I realized what I did to him. So I apologized. And then I said, Ben, I'm never going to do that again. Since that time, about maybe 11 years ago, I have never yelled at my son, not even one time. Not a single harsh word. No harsh words. And our children need to see us repenting. And we need to forgive their mistakes. In 1 Corinthians 13, it says, love holds no record of wrongs. So don't be reminding your children about all the mistakes they made. Now, I'll tell you one thing you can know for sure. Your teenagers will sin. They have a sinful nature. They will lie to you. Even Christian teenagers, they lie to their parents. And you can't go crazy about this. You have to be steady. You have to put your trust in God, not in your children. You're not living through your children. They have their life, you have your life. So your children will sin. They'll get rebellious. They'll tell you they hate you. They'll sneak off. They'll take your car. Our children did all of those things. But we need to forgive them. That doesn't mean it's okay. You're still parents. You still have rules around the house. You can ground them. You can take away their privileges. It's not free to do whatever they want. When they're little and they rebel against you, zero tolerance. When a little child is rebellious, zero tolerance. When a teenager rebels, sometimes they need just a little bit of space there. I don't know the best way to do that. But Paul said, don't frustrate your children. Don't constantly correct your children. We need to be humble. There's another area of humility. Is you need to take advice. Do you have people who try to work with the teens in the church here? Yeah, you need to take advice from them. Now, they're not the parents. You're the parents. The helpers don't decide. The teen helpers, they don't decide. You're the parent. You set the policies in your family. But listen. You want your children to see you taking advice. Now, you want your children to take advice from you, yes? You know how you could do that? Is you take advice. And they can see you taking advice. They'll trust you. Now again, that doesn't mean that you're not the boss. The parents are still the boss in the house. Advice is just advice. But you need to learn to seek advice. Number four. This is the hardest part. The teens need to see you growing as a Christian. Yeah, the jóvenes necesitan ver a ustedes creciendo en la fe. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, it says, examine yourselves to see if you're in the faith. Now, with your teenagers, the change you made when you became a Christian, that doesn't count. You get no credit for that. You know all those changes you made when you became a Christian? It doesn't count. They give you no credit for that. They assume, well, obviously you're a Christian. No, they need to see you changing now. The way I've heard it said, what I've heard, is your children becoming converted. It's kind of like you get converted also at the same time. You need to be changing. You need to be growing. Your children need to see you discovering your sins and repenting of those sins. See, to me, that's when Christianity is real. When you change. When you grow. When you have new convictions. When you... And you're more committed to God. When you help somebody become a Christian. You want to help your child become a Christian? You want your child to become a Christian? Help somebody else become a Christian. Don't remind your child, I want you to get baptized. I want you to get baptized. Don't say, when are you going to start studying? How come you're not studying the Bible? How come, you know, don't do that. The child will do the exact opposite. Trust me. Your child knows that you want them to become a Christian. That is not a secret. Don't push them. Give them some space. And when it's time, they'll tell you. They'll tell you. They say, I want to study the Bible. Now then, even then, you have to not go too crazy. You go, oh, yes. I'm like, hey, buddy. You just got to go, good. Great. You got to, you know, not go too crazy about that. You want to help your child become a Christian? You need to grow in your faith. And I don't care how much you've grown in your life spiritually up till now. With your teenagers, you get no credit for that. Sorry. You have to grow from here. In the last year, the last 2 years, how much have you grown? What have you changed? What are you doing now that you didn't do before? What did you stop doing that you used to do? Your example speaks much more than your words. Okay, last point. I told you, I'm not going to talk too long this time. Is friendship. You need to be friends with your children. Now remember, parents first, friends second. You're not just like a buddy, compadre or whatever. You're still a parent. And you're the boss in the home. But you need to be friends. You need to spend time together. My youngest daughter, she's a very strong Christian. She's helped at least 15 girls to be baptized already. 15, just my daughter. No, 15 different girls have been baptized. That's a pretty strong Christian, you think so? That's wow. 1 year, in one school year, 10 girls she studied with got baptized. But all through high school, we get together every Monday. Took her to Starbucks. Every Monday, I have like a date with my daughter. Fecha. Cita. And we just sit and talk for hours sometimes. We went to Starbucks. Sometimes we just sit and read a book together. Talk about what we're reading. Just talk. You need to learn to listen to your children. Now, I want to talk to the mothers here. The mother wants to correct their child on how to do the right things. When your daughter shares with you, she just wants you to listen. She's not looking for you to give the solution. Now, actually, they do want the solution. But they mainly need you to listen. That applies to the fathers just as well. We need to help them learn how to think. How to think wisely. It's like in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. We're not going to read it. Isaías capítulo 1, versículo 18. Capítulo 1. Where God says to Isaiah, let's reason together. To talk about the reason for things. Help them learn how to think. And instead of telling them what to do, ask them what they think they should do. And then maybe help them just a little bit. You need to be willing to listen to their music. Necesitas escuchar a su música, even if you hate it. Don't always change the radio to your station. Learn to listen to their music. If there's a sport that they like to watch, learn to watch that sport. If there's a television show they like to watch, be willing to watch that television show. You know, they're going to leave the house. Then you can watch whatever TV show you want for the next 40 years. Why is it that you want to watch their TV? Why do you want to watch their TV show? Why do you want to listen to their music? Because you want to have a friendship. And besides, you're out of style. We're all out of style. Don't even try to pretend that you're in style, because you're out of style. Try to be not too legalistic about the clothing. That doesn't mean everything is okay. But don't frustrate them. Here's how I see it. This is kind of the range of clothing that the teenagers wear. This is like the range, you know, the clothing. Okay, over here is like a nun. Yeah. That's what the parents want their children to wear. Over here is like a prostitute. prostitute. A lot of girls in school, they dress like a prostitute. You can't let your daughter walk out of the house like that. No way. But don't try to make her be over here. That's not fair. You were a teenager, weren't you? I say, try to keep her somewhere in the middle. Because the boys, they look at those girls. If your daughter's in the middle, it's probably just fine. Don't frustrate your children. You need to be fair. If your children disobey, there should be consequences. But we have a saying in English anyway. The punishment should agree with the crime. Yeah, so don't ground them for 3 months or something like that. We need to not frustrate our children. Also under the heading of friendship, you need to be very hospitable. Hospitality. Make your house be the one that the teenagers want to come to. It should be a fun place. I'd rather have my teenage children. I prefer to have my teenage children bring their friends to my house. That's much better. So you need to have food around the house. You need to let them listen to music that you don't like. And watch. You need to have food around the house. A lot of food around the house. And don't make an issue out of that. Remember, they're going to leave. In 3 or 4 years, maybe 6 years, they're going to leave. Then you'll save money on food. But your house should be the one that the children want to come to. Encourage them to hang out with other Christian teenagers. And find younger Christians, maybe closer to their age, that you could have friendship together. They could be like a mentor for your children. But your house should be a place that everybody loves to come to. When our children were teens, we had kids at our house all the time. I think that's a good idea. Okay, I have a bunch of other things I'd like to say. Let me make just one or two more points. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Galatas 6, versículo 9. Galatas 6. It says, oh, let's read it. So don't give up. there with your teens. This is a promise. If you don't give up, you will reap a harvest. Don't get too hard on yourself. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to do stupid things. My experience, teenagers are forgive easily. Just say you're sorry. Say you're sorry. They'll forgive you. They want to forgive you. Forgive yourself. Don't get down on yourself. Don't get depressed, yeah, because you make a mistake. I guarantee you're going to make many mistakes with your teenagers. Just admit your mistakes. And don't give up. Just keep working hard. And I believe you will reap a harvest. Now, we wanted to do little talking, many questions. So Jan's going to come up. So we'll take questions. Pero recuérdate que no somos expertos. Okay, questions. I assume you'll understand him. Yeah, he's asking, what about shows and music that are unacceptable, right? Yeah.
Or that have double meaning.
Yeah.
What do you do with that?
Like I said, the parents are the boss of the house. And so if your conviction is that's unacceptable, then you say no. But I think a lot of us are too conservative. And we frustrate our children. So I don't have a rule. You have to decide. You and your wife, you need to reach your own decision. But understand that eventually they're going to leave the house. And they can listen to anything they want to. And they can watch anything they want to. And they can go to their friend's house. And they can watch or listen to whatever they want to there. So, I agree. If there's obvious swearing and nudity and sex, things like that, no. I mean, ours is a Christian home. But I caution you against frustrating your children. Because maybe they're not even a Christian yet. So maybe have a discussion about what would be the best show. Maybe you can come to an agreement. That'd be better than telling them they can't watch it. But of course, there's going to be some things that are definitely not allowed. Don't you?
Si te pones a ver lo que están viendo, a veces cuando lo miras tú, sabes que están hablando algo que no está aceptable o no es bueno, y ellos mismos saben. Ellos dicen eso a tu vida. So, ¿verdad? Que ellos no están, eso no es lo que es importante, la historia es más importante de lo que están haciendo en este caso. So, tienes que tener, tiempo de conocer lo que están viendo y no como ahora yo, mira qué hicieron, quité, pero mejor de buscar la historia.
I agree. No.
He was sometimes a 10-year-old daughter is just singing a song that she heard on the radio, and it's sexual or something like that. So what do you do?
I'm going to say what I already said. Don't overreact.
No sobre. No reacciones en exceso.
Don't say, how could a daughter of mine, you know, don't overreact. You know, you need to have a calm response. Calm response. Calma. And just say something like this. Did you hear the words you were just singing? Do you feel good about singing that? Do you know what that means? Do you feel comfortable with that? I think if you let your daughter make her own decision, it's always better. Now, I already said, some things you just simply say no. But here's your goal. As they get older and older, they make more and more choices for themselves. You don't want to have a child leaving your house and they never made any decisions for themselves. Your job is not to decide for them, but to train them how to make their own decisions. And try to be calm. But maybe you have the discussion. She says, oh, you're just being blah, 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 blah. Then you might have to say, no, you can't listen to that anymore. But I say, try to avoid it if you possibly can. All right, yeah, come on up. You guys are the leaders of the church.
Come on. Creo que tanto para la edad infantil, bueno, son niños, ¿verdad? Desde niños de 3 años, de 5 años, de 8, de 10, de 15 años, ¿verdad? Como un adolescente. Generalmente, a nosotros debemos un punto de
what's the main point he's making?
That they're alternative. It's not always just, no, 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 you can't do this, and they have no place to turn. Give them alternatives.
Yeah, can I have one thing? One goal that I would have is that your children would talk to you about these things. And if you communicate and don't give a bunch of rules, they'll want to talk to you. Children want to talk, teenagers want to talk to their parents. They'll never admit it. But they do. And so, if you allow them to make their decisions, then when they're away from you, they'll act the same as when they're around you mostly. Jan grew up in a home that had all kinds of very, very strict rules. And it didn't help her, I don't think so. In fact, if you read in Colossians chapter 3, it says rules don't help to create spirituality. So, again, there's some things that you can't let them do, though. Okay, other questions? Are we too tired? Is that comes out? No? Okay. Do you want to just make a couple of comments and things that you have on your heart? Only if you want to.
About growing up?
I don't know, whatever. Just if you want to share something, no. If nothing comes to mind, that's okay. Speak loudly.
Shows, con la música, con ir a la escuela, con
Okay. I think we're done. Gracias.